Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino. This week, I'm breaking down UFC 288, Sterling vs. Cejudo. We have 13 fights on the card. Lock for this card is set for 6 p.m. The prelims, I believe, are all going to be on ESPN, and then the main card will be on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Let's just jump right into it. Our first fight is in the welterweight division. We have Claudio Ribeiro taking on Joseph Holmes. I like Ribeiro here. I'm not a big fan of Holmes. I think he's solid. He has pretty good striking, you know, solid power, but overall, just not the highest level. Ribeiro, he has heavy strikes, fights at a good pace. He has good cardio. I think really if he just pushes the pace, he's going to land some big shots along the way. And I think one way or another, he gets Joseph Holmes out of there. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have Zalgiris Zhumagulov taking on Rafael Estevam. Zhumagulov is always in a close fight. It's always interesting. He's lost some pretty close decisions, which, you know, sometimes it makes it tough to pick against a guy like that. You figure one of these days he's going to break through. But I just think Estevam is a little bit better than the guys we've seen Zhumagulov face recently. He's pretty strong. His grappling is good. His striking is good. His cardio is good. He is making his debut, which if you've listened to this podcast enough, you know, always does give me a little bit of pause. But last week we saw a lot of debuting fighters win. I think the trend is going to change on this card. I am picking against some debuting fighters, but I'm going to roll with Estevam. I just think he's got a solid skill set. I think it's going to be a close fight. And overall, he's going to get the job done. Just a little bit better pace, a little bit stronger. And Estevam gets his hand raised in this one. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Phil Hawes taking on Ikram Alexgerov. Alexgerov making his debut as well. He's a good wrestler. I'm questionable on his stand-up. I don't think it's the best at this point. Haven't seen a ton of it, but I do know he likes to grapple. He has good submissions. Loves the Kimura, which is, if he does get to fight to the ground, that could be a problem. But Phil Hawes overall, strong wrestling. He has good power, solid boxing. He's got the UFC experience. He's been a little hot and cold in the UFC, but his two losses are to some pretty tough guys. Chris Curtis, Roman Dolidze. So you can't really fault him for either one of those losses. Overall, to me, the way I see this fight going is if Hawes is able to have a little bit of success stuffing some takedowns early, maybe even landing his own takedowns, I think Alexgerov can get a little bit tired just being his debut, trying to wrestle. If it's not successful, you see these guys slow down quite a bit. Obviously, dangerous fight here. Phil Hawes is a decent-sized underdog. But I think he has the power, the wrestling, the striking to make this fight very interesting. He could end the fight at any point. And I just think with a debuting fighter with the style matchup, I think it's a nice shot to take a dog shot here. So we'll roll with Hawes and we'll see where we get. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. This is a bit of an ugly one, to say the least. Parker Porter, not the greatest, taking on Braxton Smith, who is basically a big ball of muscle, big power. I don't think his cardio is very good. His level of competition isn't great. Basically, the story of this fight is going to go like this. Parker Porter, from the very beginning of the fight, he has to look to grapple. He has to look to get the fight to the ground. If he can do that, avoid the big power on the feet, Parker Porter is going to win this fight. I don't see the cardio lasting more than a round with Smith. If Parker is going to grapple, that's the big key here. If they stand and trade, Porter's probably going to get knocked out. But I think Parker Porter's smarter than that. He's got the experience in the UFC. Hasn't always gone his way. But if he can get this fight to the ground or if he can make this fight ugly, he's going to win the cardio battle. Just has to avoid the big power, which is kind of the way every heavyweight fight goes. And with Smith making his debut, he's probably going to look to land bombs early. If he doesn't land one clean, I can see him gassing out pretty quickly. Parker Porter just kind of taking over And I have to roll with Porter for that reason. Our next fight is in the strawweight division. We have Verna Jandiroba taking on Marina Rodriguez. Gonna roll with the dog here, Jandiroba. She has solid striking. She's pretty strong. Good grappling. Her submissions are very good. Her durability is good. Marina Rodriguez, she has good striking as well. Good power. Probably the better, well, she is the better striker of the two. But a lot of times she leaves a little bit out there. She's not always the most aggressive. I just think this fight's going to be very close. I think there is a path for Jandiroba if she gets the fight to the ground. She could win by sub, or she can control the fight for a good portion of time. That's going to be the path here. This fight is much closer to me than, actually, I mean, the odds aren't too far off, but I definitely think Jandiroba is live in this one. I think it's going to be a very close fight. And if Jandiroba can have some success on the ground, her striking is going to be fine. It's going to be back and forth. I think Jandiroba gets the job done. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Chaos Williams taking on Ronaldo Bedoya. Bedoya, another fighter making his debut. He has solid striking. He, to me, I don't think he's ready for this moment. I think Chaos probably puts him out. Bedoya is a little bit too hittable for my liking, making his debut against a guy like Chaos Williams. So basically, if Chaos Williams just fights his normal fight, he's going to be able to land some big shots. His power carries all three rounds. So against a debuting fighter who does get hit and who is, he's has good striking, he has decent power, but nothing special. We haven't really seen it on the high level yet. So seems like a pretty straightforward fight for me with Williams. Probably going to go inside the distance here for one of my bets. And, you know, that's where you're going to find some decent value. Chaos is a decent favorite in this one. But I do think the inside the distance, well, actually, probably the KO, the knockout prop is probably the way to go. But we'll see what the, I haven't seen those numbers yet, so I don't know what that's going to look like, but definitely an inside the distance fight for me. Get the value on Chaos. I'm pretty confident he's going to finish this one. Our next fight is in the light heavyweight division. We have Devin Clark taking on Kennedy Njuku, and Nzechukwu, actually, if I believe that's how it's said. Devin Clark, all heart. We've seen it time and time again. He wins fights that he shouldn't win just by outworking guys. I don't think that strategy is going to play here. And Njuku is much bigger. He has good power, and he also has good grappling. So if Devin Clark does decide to grapple, which I'm assuming he probably will, that's going to be his path, clearly. I think Njuku can stuff some takedowns. He could also land some takedowns of his own. We have seen Clark get dominated by guys like Ian Kutalaba in the wrestling department. So definitely could see him getting dominated by Njechuku. He's much bigger. If Njechuku takes him down and gets on top of him, he will be able to control him. He will be able to land big damage. And when it's on the feet, Njechuku, much taller, much longer, good power, very dangerous. To me, seems pretty straightforward. And Njechuku gets the job done. Wouldn't be shocked if he was able to find a finish, but I think I'm just gonna bet this one straight up. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Kron Gracie taking on Charles Jourdain. Gracie making his return. He hasn't fought since 2019. Last fight was against Cub Swanson. He mostly looks to grapple. He is a dangerous grappler. Submissions are very high level. If he gets the fight to the ground, I think he submits Jourdain. I don't think Jourdain survives too long on the ground with a guy like Gracie. Gracie's striking is ugly. But what he does do is he pushes the pace, he walks forward, he throws strikes. Not the prettiest strikes, but he does land. He was landing a lot on Cub Swanson, who was clearly the better striker. But Gracie's very durable, and he's not afraid to get hit. And he just pushes the pace enough to where in a matchup against Jourdain, where we've seen guys take Jourdain down. We've seen guys take Jourdain's back. We've seen him fall, trying to throw dynamic kicks, ending up on the ground. There's a lot of Jourdain's game that I think plays into the favor of Gracie. And while Jourdain is the better striker and he will have the advantage on the feet, he needs it to be clean. If it's not clean, Gracie kind of evens the playing field a little bit with his forward pressure and just throwing punches to throw punches, and it pays off. But when the fight goes to the ground, the grappling advantage, to me, is much higher than the striking advantage that Jourdain has on the feet. So as the underdog, Crone Gracie is going to make this an ugly fight. That's all he really has to do. If he makes this fight ugly, if he can get the fight to the ground, then I feel very confident that we have a dog winner here. If it stays on the feet and, you know, they strike the whole time, I think Gracie still will be in the fight. But I think Jourdain will be the better striker and he probably will end up winning. But overall, I'll take my shot on Gracie. I think if he does get the fight to the ground, he wins by sub. And if it's an ugly fight, if it's going back and forth, he's going to be right there the whole time. You know, maybe he lands something. He did land some big shots on Cub Swanson. I don't think he's going to land anything to get Jourdain out of there, but lands enough power, makes it interesting, ugly, definitely worth a dog shot here. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. This, to me, is probably the most exciting fight on the card, just based on the style of these two. Both guys going to go out there. I don't even know if I named them yet. Drew Dober and Matt Frivola. Both guys going to go out there looking to throw bombs. Frivola, I could see Frivola trying to mix in some grappling. We've seen Dober get wrestled in the past, but against some pretty high-level guys. We've also seen Frivola get wrestled as well against high-level guys. So I think for the most part, they're going to keep this on the feet. They're going to throw bombs. To me, Dober has the better chin. He can take a better shot, and he has a little bit more natural power. So I like Dober in this matchup. I just think Dober is the cleaner fighter. Frivola can be a bit hectic, can be a bit wild. And we've seen him get dropped in multiple fights. So basically, you know, two guys throwing bombs. I'm going to roll with the dude with the better chin. And to me, I think better power. I mean, Frivola has 3 knockouts in his career. 2 of them came in the last 2 fights. So maybe he's found something in his power. But overall, I just think I'll trust the chin of Drew Dober and the power. He does tend to put on a pretty solid pace. Both guys do fight at a pretty high pace. We've seen Dober break guys down over time and find knockouts, second, third round type thing. So that's kind of the way I see this fight going. I see it being exciting. I see both guys having success early. But overall, as the fight goes long, I think Dober is just more fit for that type of fight. And I think he finds the chin eventually, and he gets Frivola out of there. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Movsar Evloev taking on Diego Lopes. Lopes making this fight at 3 days' notice. It was supposed to be Bryce Mitchell, so obviously a much higher level competition for Evloev. I was excited about this fight with Bryce Mitchell. I thought Mitchell was going to make it a good fight, and Mitchell was the dog, so I probably was going to be on Mitchell in this one. But this fight now is kind of a mismatch. Evloev is a takedown machine. He's landed 18 takedowns in his last 2 fights, and I expect him to rinse and repeat here, land some takedowns. Lopes has good submissions, but I don't see Evloev getting submitted unless it's by somebody elite, and a guy making his debut on 3 days' notice. I can't put him in that category. So Evloev should dominate this fight. He's the better fighter. He's definitely the better wrestler. He's going to control. I would love to say we'll go inside the distance here, but he doesn't really finish fights. So he's got a lot of decisions on his record. And, you know, he's a high IQ guy, so maybe he's not going to take any chances. I definitely think there's a chance he finishes with Lopes coming in on short notice. You know, who knows what his cardio is going to be like. Evloev definitely a couple levels above him, even on a full camp. So, Evloev to dominate. We could take a sprinkle on the inside the distance, but for now, I just think Evloev wins. Probably a better parlay piece than really anything else. Our next fight is in the strawweight division. We have Jessica Andrade taking on Yan Jianan. Another fun fight. I think the power is gonna side with Andrade, which it usually does. Her volume is going to be good. It's going to be a pretty good back and forth. I think Andrade can mix in some takedowns. She's the more dangerous fighter on the ground. I think Andrade just has a little bit more, a little bit higher level competition, better experience, better power. The volume's going to be pretty similar. Overall, Andrade, she's tough, she's durable, and I think she gets the job done here. We move on to the co-main event. We have Bilal Muhammad taking on Gilbert Burns. This is a very good fight. It is kind of on short notice, which, you know, I don't know how that's going to play. But Bilal Muhammad has been calling for a title shot. He's kind of been in that looking for the backup role. So I'm assuming he's been training. We saw Gilbert Burns fight a few weeks ago against Jorge Masvidal. So I'm going to assume both guys are in pretty good shape. And they should both be able to do the three rounds, no problem. To me, I like Bilal here. And I've always been a big Gilbert Burns fan. And I'm usually betting Gilbert Burns, but to me, the grappling is not going to be an advantage for Burns. He has the better submissions, obviously, but getting into position against Bilal Muhammad is not easy. He has very good takedown defense. He has very good takedowns himself. He's very high fight IQ, pretty strong. His grappling or his striking is good. This to me is going to be another just very close fight, razor sharp close fight. And Bilal, I don't know, man. He just finds a way to win these fights. And I think he finds a way to get the job done. And if Burns is not successful, if he's trying to land takedowns and he's not getting them, I think the cardio could favor Bilal. Again, they're both taking it on relatively short notice. You don't know where the gas tank is going to be for either guy, but obviously both guys are in the title talk. This fight is for a number one contender spot. You would expect their cardio to be pretty good. So I like Bilal. I think the fight's really close. I'm happy to be on the underdog. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be fun. Bilal Muhammad is the pick. We move on to the main event. We have Henry Cejudo taking on Aljamain Sterling for Aljamain's bantamweight title. Henry's last fight was a championship fight that he won and then retired immediately after. That was actually the first fight card back during the pandemic. So after everything had shut down, UFC was basically one of the first sports to hop back in there. And that's the last time we saw Henry Cejudo. So, that gives me a little worry. Cejudo has been off for 3 years. So, who knows? Has he fallen off at all? Maybe. But I thought the same thing with John Jones. And John Jones looked pretty mediocre in his fights leading up to his time off. And then he came back and just dominated and made me feel pretty stupid for picking against him. And I kind of feel the same thing with Cejudo. What Aljamain does best is grapple and take guys down, take their back, control. That's not really going to play against Henry Cejudo, the Olympic gold medalist, I don't think. I mean, that stuff doesn't go away. Cejudo has always had good wrestling. He's a high IQ fighter. He knows how to win. He progressively got better. You saw it in his UFC career. He at one point looked like a wrestler who was trying to figure it out. And then the next thing you know, he's dropping guys with strikes. And he's just a well-rounded, dangerous fighter. Wherever the fight goes, he's a problem. That's the guy I'm betting on. I think Cejudo is that guy. I think he is as good as it gets. His striking is very sneaky. He has fast inside. His hands are quick. He gets in inside really quickly. I don't know why that was so hard for me to say. But he has these short strikes that catch the chin, shock guys. He's in and out. His knees are good. You know, all around, I just think Henry Cejudo is a dangerous fighter. Aljo, like I say, he's a very good grappler. His pace is pretty good. His volume's pretty high. Not the most powerful guy in the world. And it's very tough to gauge kind of how good his title reign has been, because we saw he wins the belt on a fight he was losing by illegal knee. And then they do the rematch. He has two rounds of control time, two rounds of back control, where Jan really didn't do much. He just kind of sat there waiting just to get out, at the end of the round. And the three rounds outside of that, where the first round was a joke, and the other two rounds, Jan, to me, put on the better volume, the more damage. And, you know, Aljo wins the fight because he was able to get round one on two judges' scorecards. And, you know, it's like, okay, he defended the belt, solid, but not a great fight. And then he fights TJ Dillashaw, who's got one arm coming into the fight, and clearly TJ injures his arm almost immediately where he can't use it. And then Aljo basically just pounds him out and wins that way. So it's like, all right, well, he's winning these fights. He is a good fighter. He's a high-level guy. But how good is he? Is he better than Henry Cejudo, who was basically just taking guys out along the way before he walked away, retired, whatever you want to call it? I don't know. I just think overall skills, if you put them on paper, Henry Cejudo wins this fight more times than he loses it. I'm going to roll with Cejudo here. It looks like a little bit of money is coming in on him. I saw the odds were even a few days ago. Now Cejudo is slightly taking the lead in the favorite department. So I think a lot of people are thinking like me. Overall, it's going to be an interesting fight. It should be fun. The weight cuts seem like they may be getting to be a little bit harder for Aljo. So we'll see how that goes. Weigh-ins will be happening shortly. I'm recording this Friday morning. So by the time this is out and you're listening to it, weigh-ins will probably already have happened. But as always, you can check my Twitter and my Instagram and TikTok. What else do I have? All that stuff at TommyZ_MMA. I'll have my updates, my bets. If I have any other thoughts, maybe I'll throw a video or two out. But overall, that's kind of where I'm at on the card. We have a handful of dogs. I think it should be a good one. It'll be fun. And, I guess until next time, good luck on Saturday.